Baby Pictures Famous Dictators Podcast, Episode 12. With me today in the studio is Stefano Denari, my cousin and assistant brewer at Good People Brewing Company in Birmingham, Alabama. Steffi, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Today we're going to talk about two main subjects. We were originally going to make the podcast about music, what we're listening to, what people should be listening to. But as we were discussing the music we're listening to, we only talked about Kanye West's Yeezus. So we have the podcast into two areas of concern. The first, we're going to talk about brewing, beer, all of your expertise in that area. Second half of the podcast is all Yeezus. That's it.
Sounds like a great plan.
Let's start off, give everyone listening at home an overview of what Good People Brewing Company do, your role at the place, you know, maybe some insider information, the process of brewing. Go for it.
So in Alabama, the beer laws and liquor laws are really strict, and as of 2013, all previous laws that restricted alcohol limits or pint size, how many, you know, the alcohol volume, all that stuff was lifted, and now we're able to do a lot more. But before 2008, when Good People Brewing started, there are a bunch of laws that prohibited us from making beers over 6%. You couldn't have a tasting room. You couldn't sell in bottles over 22 ounces.
So this was relatively recently.
Yeah, that so within the last 2 to 3 years,
right?
I've been a part of some of the changes where we've been able to have tasting rooms. People can come in, try different beers, take tours without having any sort of restriction. So within the last couple of years, things have really changed, and that's kind of evident.
Good for you guys.
Yeah, it's great for us, and it's great for the beer community. And I think that's why craft beer right now is so popular, because people are realizing that it's a, you know, pretty successful and profitable business for the cities that these breweries are a part of. And you know, just in general, I think people are drinking a lot more beer because they don't want to drink.
Sadder.
As we drink our Bud Light Tall Boys, we're talking about craft beer, but you know, people, I think, are
getting
over...
Thanks to Kyle Craig for leaving these Bud Lights in my fridge.
They really go down smooth, but but yeah, I mean, craft beer's on a rise right now, and what Good People's done for beer laws in Alabama, they've pretty much lifted all of them so that we can have more craft breweries and just do a lot more within the craft beer scene.
Awesome. And your specific role at the company?
Well, initially, I got involved just working in the tap room or tasting room, so I would just serve beer to people, kind of like a bartender, talk to people, take them on tours of the brewery. You know, our brewery is about 30,000 square feet, and we're looking to expand within the next, you know, few years into another facility that might be able to meet the type of goals and expectations that we're setting for ourselves. But I got started as a bartender, then as of January, I got brought on to help out with the production staff, making the beer, running errands.
Give tours? You know,
I still give an occasional tour, but I try not to do that much. But
That's grunt work at the brewery?
No, I actually like that. I think it's fun, you know, talking to the people, talking about Good People, just talking about beer in general. It's, you know, like I said, it's very popular right now, and people are interested in it. So the better job that you do in terms of talking about your brewery, the more, you know, successful you can become, the better face you have in the community.
You guys have any long-term plans on expanding to a national distribution thing, or you're still
concentrating on... we do, and currently we're just in Alabama and a little bit in Tennessee. We're
Bonnaroo?
We are at Bonnaroo. We've been there the past 3 years. I've yet to go, but, you know, I hear it's awesome. And
you miss Skrillex.
I did miss Skrillex, and I missed... pretty sad. I miss Paul McCartney, I guess you could say.
Foles was there too. Only sad about Skrillex.
But yeah, we're at Bonnaroo, but we're, you know, we're making sure that we can meet demands in Alabama and some other smaller cities outside and go from there. But, you know, we're looking to be, you know, East Coast, Southern distribution.
And is it possible for, you know, everyone listening at home potentially to buy the beer from the website, or is that illegal? I don't know how those laws work at all.
So within the Alabama system and Mississippi as well, they're kind of the last of the 50 states that are really strict about beer, but there's a three-tier system. So you have the brewery or you have the manufacturing facility, then you have a distributor who handles
a separate company
that you're affiliated with, but basically you package everything in-house. Then you have to send it to a distributor, a middleman, that then sells it to the final tier, which is the retailer, where you can then go and buy it.
Whereas Brooklyn Brewery can
do
it all in one spot.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that you can do that all there, and you know, it'd be nice if we could handle all our own distribution, but it's just kind of the law, and we have to deal with it.
It makes it really difficult to expand when you're
spending
so much capital.
Especially when distributors aren't the most trustworthy or reliable.
Right.
So it's kind of tough, but...
Interesting. Maybe take us through the brewing process. You probably have to give this spiel on the tours.
Yeah, you know, start out with a few jokes.
Say the jokes.
You know, just depending on who's in the crowd, you can crack some jokes.
You do some heckling, like the hecklers get at
a lot of heckling. I throw hops at them, you know, some people, but you know, like Gallagher smashes the watermelons. We, you know, smash
throw the
some
hops
and stuff. But
oh, okay.
Basically, you know. You may have heard beer takes up to a month or something to make or complete. But depending on the style, it can take up to 2 weeks. It can take up to a few months. There are two basic styles when it comes to beer. There are ales and there are lagers. So a lot of the popular styles now are IPAs or brown ales or stouts. And those fall within the ale categories, whereas lagers and pilsners are lagers. And it just, you
that
know,
makes perfect
it makes
sense.
Pretty simple there. But basically, it just depends on how you're making it. Ales are generally fermenting at higher temperatures and
lagers at lower
temperatures. Okay. But the main process and ingredients that you have while making beer is your malted barleys and grains. Depending on what style, you're going to have either lighter malts or darker malts.
Right.
You're going to have hot water. You're going to have yeast, and you're going to have hops. And those aren't added all at the same time, but basically you have a mash tun, which is the vessel that you first put all your ingredients in with the hot water, and it's basically extracting all the sugars from the grains to create a liquid called wort, which then you boil, and this is when you add hops in. And you may have heard like a 60-minute hop addition or a 90-minute hop addition or something like that, like in... You know,
as a selling point type.
Yeah,
thing.
You know, I think there's a brewery called Dogfish Head, and some of their beers are the 60-minute IPA, the 90-minute IPA, 120-minute, and those are just the different hop additions that you put it in, or different boil times.
We got a Dogfish Head in the
yeah 90
the fridge
minutes
too.
So,
special thanks to Michelle Farrow for leaving that in the fridge.
It's a good beer.
Everyone's leaving beer,
but you know,
fridge.
The Bud Light Tall Boy is going down pretty smooth right now. But basically, after the boiling, not all breweries have this. Good People has it. It's called a whirlpool, where essentially you take that super hot wort and you're bringing it down to around 70 degrees so that it's at a fermentable temperature when you put it in a fermenting vessel. And that's when you add the yeast. Yeast is what basically is producing the alcohol in the beer. So depending on the style, you're going to let it sit in a fermenter for either 2 weeks, 4 weeks, you know, 1 week. It all just kind of depends on how the yeast acts and where it finishes up.
Everyone at home is writing all this down in brewing beer. Right?
You know, and I could probably explain a little bit better, but that's kind of just the gist of it. It's kind of simple. You can do it at home.
You've done this before. Maybe relate your experience of home brewing.
The home brewing experience that I had was not very good, but if you can make oatmeal, you can make beer.
But it'll taste very bad.
It will taste kind of bad. But, I mean, there are a lot of people that are really good at home brewing and are not that great at making professional beer or something like that. So
different scales.
Different scales. I wasn't that great at home brewing, but I'm, you know,
you're amazing.
I'm probably the best there, not to boast, but.
Do you want to maybe relate a personal anecdote about how you started working there and what drew you to the company, how you learned about them?
Yeah, I mean.
Was it the Birmingham Barons?
The Birmingham Barons are Chicago White Sox AA affiliates. They did not necessarily have anything to do.
Are they who Michael
Jordan played for the Birmingham Barons in Hoover, Alabama. And I think back in the 90s, early 90s, in that transition period from when he retired to coming back and winning, I think, 3 in a row. But within the past year, we had a new baseball stadium built right across the street from the brewery, and it's really helped out business.
Right.
And
you guys sell in there?
Yeah, we sell in there, but, you know, there are other places that sell in there as well, but they kind of play favor to us because we're right across the street and we have a good relationship with them. But, you know, I didn't know anything about the Barons when I got involved there, and it was actually we really didn't know that they were going to be moving across the street, so we kind of lucked out with our location. But I got involved just, you know, senior year of college. I wasn't really sure what I was doing. And I read Outside Magazine's Best Places to Work, like, you know, and breweries were on there. And so, you know, I emailed and called a bunch of different breweries from Maine to California to, you know, Florida. And I was just thinking, why didn't I just email these guys first? They're right in the town. And so I got involved with them on their canning line, and I would just volunteer. I would go in 2 to 3 times a day, like in between classes and after class, and they would just pay me in beer and, like, here you go. And
you'd be on an assembly line type thing?
Yeah, you know, you're, like, pushing the cans down, snapping on six-pack holders, and then putting them in boxes and then wrapping up the pallets.
Right.
And, you know, you can do our canning line now. We have 2 different canning lines, so we're doing about, you know, up to 500 cases in 4 hours or something like that. But back then, we were doing that in about 8 hours. So definitely bumped up that. But that's how I got involved, was just on the canning line, volunteering, being a nuisance. And now I got, you know, we're all really good friends there, and it's really cool that I've had this opportunity to move up with the owners and, you know, move up into the brewing process.
Get in on the ground floor.
It's a lot of fun.
Now you're going to say your top 5 breweries in the United States. These are domestic only. We were also going to do some of Western Europe, but we're going to stick to domestic, so...
I'd say, you know, besides good people...
Are you going to do these in order of quality, or is this a...
I'm just going to name them off.
You don't have a favorite one.
Nah, I mean...
Do you have, like, a dream brewery? Like, you're in the double A. You're on the Barons brewery.
There's no, like,
right
where
now.
you aspire to be on the Yankees or anything. But I think just being able to work where I am, being able to work from a small facility now to a larger facility, and maybe one day do a larger one, I think I've... kind of been very privileged as to where I'm working now, but
and you're invested, you know.
Yeah, and I, you know, that's what I'm working towards, is to invest myself in the business and grow with them, because I think we have a really great product. I should probably sell the product a little bit more, but you know,
you said you can't buy it.
Unfortunately, no. But I'll send you guys some stuff if you want. I'll send Carmen some beer.
Yeah. Anyone is welcome to email me, and Stefano will personally send you a case of beer.
Yeah. But some of my favorite breweries, there's a brewery in Charleston, South Carolina called Coast Brewing Company. And why I like them is because they're similar to Good People for what they've done for beer laws in Charleston. They got a bunch of laws lifted. Now they used to only be able to serve you sample sizes, so 4 ounce tasters.
A teaspoon of beer.
You'd only get one spoonful of stout or something like that. But now they're able to sell pints. They're able to have a tap room. Been able to sell bottles, growlers, all that stuff. They've really just set a path for craft beer in Charleston. Mm-hmm. So I really like their company, and I like their brand. And that's kind of why I like some of these breweries. Not necessarily because they may have the best beer, but because they've created a great brand for themselves.
Yes, they have a culture.
Yeah, they have a culture, and I like that. I think Good People's made a good brand for themselves, so I like to appreciate other people that have done some hard work. Another brewery that I like and was... the brewery that Outside Magazine had posted about was New Belgium in Colorado, and they're famous for Fat Tire. Some people call it Frat Tire because the frat boys...
I'm not familiar with this.
Fat Tire is just like an amber, like a lighter beer, but it's like super popular.
Is it?
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. You can probably get some here. But
I'm sure we can.
They're a... craft brewery that has kind of exploded and are humongous. They have revenues reaching hundreds of millions of dollars every year. So for what they do for the craft beer industry, I think is really great, getting people involved in certain styles and then willing to branch out and trying other breweries that have similar styles.
Tapping the frat boy market.
Yeah, tapping the frat boy market. But one of their beers that they make is a sour brown ale that's called La Folie. And that may be one of the best beers I've ever had in my life.
Ooh.
It's really good.
We should be drinking that right
now.
We
should
be.
The Bud Light's all good. You can't find these, you know, a lot of parts either. So, what are some other breweries? I like Smutty Nose Brewing out of New Hampshire. Their brown ale, the Old Brown Dog, is really good. It's kind of a chocolatey, malty, toffee kind of brown ale. Really great beer for chilly days. No, nights by the fire. who else
slaying
is
out on a Bears game.
Yeah, just,
rug.
You know, what, maybe watching a Barons game. You never know.
Watching a Barons game.
Brooklyn Cyclones.
Kicking back with some smutty nose.
Founders Brewing Company in Michigan is really cool, and they've put out a spring session IPA called All Day IPA. It's around 4%. IPAs are, you know, a very popular style, and almost every single brewery in the country, in the world, has an IPA.
Right.
I
think you told me this, that when you start a brewery, the first thing you do is perfect your IPA.
Not necessarily, but that's kind of what you'll be known for.
Right.
Good People has an IPA that is phenomenal, and it's just called the IPA, but we have a double IPA called Snake Handler, and that's probably one of our most popular beers.
Great names. When you're done going through these breweries, you're going to give some of the names.
Yeah, Good People has, I think, by far the coolest beer names around, but the story behind Snake Handler is in Sand Mountain, Alabama, there's a snake handling culture, religious, you know, sects that handle snakes and speak tongues and stuff. So there was this book.
Parcel tongue.
Yeah, Voldemort style. But basically, we, you know, that inspired us to make it, and it's just a great beer name. But aside from Good People, I like Ballast Point out in San Diego. Their Sculpin IPA is one of the best IPAs in the country. If you can ever get that, they're actually putting it out in cans now.
Oh.
And Good People actually only does cans. It's better for the beer, actually. People may have a negative connotation. You know, we're drinking this Bud Light
here. Right, we're not as classy.
Not as classy, but actually, you're very classy. It's better for the beer. It's kind of like a mini keg. No light is able to get into it. The beer stays fresh longer.
Oh, see,
you can
recycle
it. You can take it to the lake or the beach, not worrying about stepping on glass or anything like that. So, but Ballast Point's really good, and Green Flash Brewing Company is another brewery that I like. I already said Founders.
Did you?
Yeah, all days.
Never mind.
But you know, Green Flash makes the West Coast IPA. You know, I like IPAs. They're citrusy. They're, you know, lighter colored. They're bitter, but you could pack a punch in them. Mm-hmm. You could have double IPAs. You know, like Founders does the All Day IPA. You can have a lighter IPA that you could drink all day. No pun intended, but you know, no play on words.
Oh, there's your jokes from the tour.
Yeah, that, you know,
they're
that's
coming out.
If you want to come down to Birmingham, you can hear jokes like that. Really, be entertained.
Get some hops thrown in your face.
Yeah, get some hops in your face. But
yeah, before we go to the last part of the beer discussion, just give us some more of the titles of the Good People beers, like Snake Handler.
Oh yeah, so I can go down the list.
How many different varieties do you guys have?
It kind of changes with the season and what we're able to do when we have downtime, because we're on a strict schedule where we're brewing up to 4 times a day, and we have different shifts. So I work from 6 in the morning to around 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and then some other guys come in from 12. Just some random guys that we, you know, find they can come in from 12 to around 8
strangers.
Or 9. Strangers.
Pulling strangers off the streets.
So between that time, if we have downtime, we can experiment with some other things. But year round, we have this series called Ales from the Heart of Dixie, and Birmingham is, you know, the heart of Alabama, or that Dixie kind of culture, Southern, you know, I wouldn't say Southern pride, because that sounds like kind of, you know, bad, but, you know,
Paula Deen has got some bad connotations.
Yeah, I don't want to have anything to do with that, but year round beers that we make are an IPA, a brown ale, a pale ale. We have a coffee oatmeal stout, and the Bearded Lady, which is a wheat beer. It's really good, super light. We're actually going to put that in a can soon. And then we have the Snake Handler, which is kind of our cult classic beer, most popular one that people generally have, but, you know, they want to drink. We have some other ones. We have the Mumbai Rye. It's a rye IPA, a little bit spicier. Not like you're eating hot wings or anything like that, but it has a nice herbal spice to it. It complements the fall weather well. And a lot of these beers you want to make during different seasons, like IPAs, you can drink all year round, but for the winter, or the fall or spring, you might want to make more brown ales or stouts that keep you warmer. Mm-hmm. We have Fatso, which is an imperial stout, a darker beer, super rich and you know, robust. And then we have Fatso's big brother, El Gordo, and that's around 14% alcohol, huge beer, really good. Some of the other names we got: Dirt Dauber, Hogwash, Skeeter Bite, I'm coming up with a Mexican lager that we're calling the Urban Sombrero.
Ooh.
So, you know, there's some other ones in there. We got a Strongman.
Fantastic.
Yeah, they're really good. So, you know, Jason and Michael have done a great job with creating a brand, creating beer styles that you're interested in drinking. I think when you go to a bar, aside from knowing what you want to order, when you're looking at the list,
right,
you're looking at names that look cool. So here's an IPA that's Snake Handler, double IPA.
Yeah.
You know, you're intrigued by that. And I think that's why also I like some of these other breweries, is because their brand is so cool that, you know, you're interested and you're willing to support those guys.
Right.
So, yeah.
Hypothetical situation.
Yeah.
You've been sentenced to death by a jury of your peers after, we're not going to say what you did, but your lawyer, our Uncle Randy,
okay,
has argued for the justice system to allow you to have one last beer before your lethal injection. Which beer do you pick? Are you going to go Homer pick and pick a good piece?
I'm probably going to pick a Good People beer just because they're phenomenal beers. I mean,
in the world.
You know, I get to help out make this beer every day, so I have kind of a close connection with it. But, you know, I'd either pick the Good People Pale Ale, super good beer, super refreshing, or our IPA. But if I had to pick one beer...
Maybe non-Good People.
Maybe non-Good People. I'd probably pick either La Folie from New Belgium, or Stone Brewing Company makes an IPA that's called Enjoy By. And it's... You have... They give you a keg, and you have so many days before they throw it out. Or not throw it out, but until it's not fresh. Like, they make a fresh IPA that they say, here, from June 1st to June 30th, you should drink this, or don't drink it after this. You
right.
know, like, it's super fresh. So that beer is phenomenal, so I would probably pick those. Roundabout, those two or three beers would be on my list of
right.
last beer.
I would definitely go with Georgie's signature German banana beer.
Okay, I've yet to have that,
I believe it's called Weifenschneisser. Or Schneifen of Weiser. It's one of those two.
One of those two? Maybe both. You know, maybe they have a dark and a light.
But my roommate George is sponsored by them. You guys should definitely check out that German banana beer. It comes in a... What is it?
It's probably like a
4-gallon bottle.
22-ounce bottle.
It's 8.8%
like
alcohol and 100% amazing. Once you drink it, you never want to die, so that actually might complicate the death sentence.
Yeah.
That would make me more upset. Maybe I'll just drink another one of these freaking Bud Light cans.
They go down.
Then I'd be like, I'm ready to die now. Let's go. Now we're talking about Yeezus. Seamless transition. Actually, do you want to say anything else about brewing before we move on?
I mean,
check out Good People, goodpeople.com.
Yeah, check out goodpeoplebrewing.com. We just updated our website. We don't have a web store or anything right now, but we do
not
have,
even merch?
We do have merch, but the site went down. But, you know, anytime you're ever in Birmingham, come check out the brewery. It's a really cool place. We got, you know, yard games, ping pong.
Ooh, what yard games you got?
Cornhole and a ladder toss. We got a disc golf basket in there, so you can come and play disc golf if you want. But
what's that game that's kind of like frolfing, but you got the two cans and they kind of look like R2-D2?
I don't know what it's called, but I've seen people play it.
Yeah,
maybe
you should get that.
I think
we should just learn the name of it. Sure,
stick can on a stick and hit it with the
thing. Yeah. What the fuck? Never mind. Moving on to Yeezus, we're both big into this album.
It's a great album.
We're all in on the album?
Yeah. Is that... are you calling from one of the songs?
Huh?
I'm in it.
Oh, we're in
it. We're in it.
With it. Sure. What were your initial impressions of the album? Maybe you could say where you were in the world, because I remember our grandmother always tells me that when she learned that JFK died, she was on an escalator in the mall, and when I first heard Yeezus, I was passed out in a car praying for death. As I went to go white water rafting at 6 o'clock in the morning. So
that's a great,
great time to
hear. Great time. I think I heard New Slaves first.
I'm saying the whole album.
The whole album.
When did you have the whole access to it? Because the entire world
was
watching the
work.
SNL.
You
were
on
the can line.
I was on the canning line. Yeah, I just remember. But basically, we got there, and that was the first album that I put on during the day, and this was the first time that I listened to it all the way through. And immediately, I knew that this was going to be something special within a few listens. The first time through, I couldn't really digest or comprehend everything.
It's almost impossible.
And I think it still is, to a certain extent.
Yes.
There are still some songs that I still don't know really what's going on. But I think overall...
There's a lot to wrap your head around on that album.
Yeah, it's very aggressive, transgressive, progressive. How many more S's can we get at? But I think he has...
You're killing those suffixes. Keep going.
Thank you. I don't have any more there. But I think what he's done on this album surpasses what he's done on the past ones. I mean, I think that's hard to say.
We differ on this, that I prefer 808s to My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
I agree.
It's more cohesive. It is a more... I guess there are... I mean, these past three have all sort of, in a way, been concept albums that they have a very deliberate aesthetic that he's going for. But I, you know, prefer the more maybe abstract or...
Yeah. I think with Fantasy, that album is very much Kanye's fantasy. It's not I don't think it's planted in real life. I don't think any song you're listening to and you're saying, wow, I'm really listening to Kanye's insecurities, or I'm listening to this. I think it's just a concept that he had, whereas 808 or Late Registration, or even, you know, the earlier albums, and then Yeezus, they really highlight his problems today.
And
I think
it's more autobiographical.
Yeah, it's autobiographical, and I think lyrically it's one of the stronger albums. Yeah. Just because what he's rapping about or singing about now is a lot more relatable, I think, in this time.
Yeah, maybe just in a utilitarian sense, that there's songs on Dark Fantasy that I don't like.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like Blame Game.
It's just there are parts of that album where
that are down, while I think 808s and Yeezus are awesome the whole way through.
For sure.
And they're, I guess, more concise.
Yeah.
It's all the same theme or concept. It's all pointed towards something, and I think maybe Dark Fantasy gets a little windy in its path.
Circuitous.
Yeah, circuitous. Oh, there's definitely a lot of progression and circuity on this one. I put, first time I heard it, like someone had dropped a hairdryer in the bubble bath in my brain.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a perfect analogy. But where do you think it ranks in his oeuvre, his oeuvre?
I think it ranks among the top. Maybe I think it may be one of his better albums, because I think he accomplished what he was going for.
So you don't think it's the best album released in our lifetime?
I think you think that. I think it's a great album that will always be on my phone, I think, or, you know, my iPod or whatever it is.
Or in your Google Glass.
In my Google Glass, it'll always be playing on site, because I think that's
nice.
Pretty good.
That's there. A tour pun right there.
But I think it's a really great album, and I think it's getting a lot of reception that Kanye wants by making this album. I think people are reacting to it in the way that he has suggested, lyrically, you know, production-wise, I think what he's done, we like it, and we like it because of this, or we don't like it because of this, and I think he's asking us, why don't you like it, you know, just by what he's rapping about, and this is why.
Which makes me almost like it all the more. A lot of reviews and reactions I've heard from people say that it's dissonant and intentionally unlistenable, consciously an affront to the listener, but I don't get that at all. I think the best thing about the album is how still melodic and completely listenable it is, that he's attempting to subvert that, but still showing that the way that he's internalized melody and concept of what people want from music is so profound that he can't.
I think what is important about Kanye, and he will fall into the category, I think, regardless of what people actually think about him, I think what they think about his music will be a very progressive and trend-setting artist of our generation. I mean, similar to a band like Pink Floyd.
Unprecedented quality.
Yeah.
Every
album is...
No artist can touch the amount of quality, the level of quality is put through every album.
No, I think, and the attention to detail and making sure that everything sounds the way it's supposed to sound, I think he's an incredible...
Consummate.
Yeah, he's very...
He's a pro.
I mean, that's all
you can
really say about
that. You can hear the talent
that.
On every single song.
But, you know, I can also see why people are saying, you know, that's cheesy, or it's, you know, what's the point
the
of
juvenile
this?
Stuff.
Yeah, it's very silly.
Want to fuck you in the sink afterwards, give you something
lyrically
to drink.
You know, I think NPR did a great article on it when they were saying that it's great, but they were also beating him down because, you know, he takes a song Blood on the Leaves and he has, you know, an initial beat or song about a lynching and then talking about having sex with women, and it's just like, they're saying you kind of missed the point about what that song is, but you're using
this. I believe he's definitely intentionally missing the point.
No, I think that's important. Like, here, this song is controversial, now I'm going to make a controversial song on top of that. You know, I think it is very intentional, but I think people kind of look into it a lot too deep, you know? So
now I don't think you can look deep enough. But that's important to point out, and I think that song is fantastic. There's at least two songs on here, because maybe more so Kanye than any other artist, we know what's happening in his life at all times, his personal life. And there's two songs on here that are very obviously about him cheating on Kim Kardashian. I don't even know what the parameters of the relationship are, but there's a song, what is it? Hold My Liquor. Is definitely about the girl he wrote 808s about.
Yeah.
And then Blood on the Leaves is about, I believe, a girl came out recently and said that she had met him at one of the Atlantic City shows and had an affair with him.
So this
is stuff that maybe if we're going to compare him to Jay-Z, that would never happen on a Jay-Z album, and it's so much more complicated in a way human because Jay-Z is always sort of manicuring his brand, and all his songs have to be about how he loves his wife and how he loves his kid. And Kanye will never, ever do that because I feel he's always catering to a more complicated view of things.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think that's why having an album like Watch the Throne is interesting to dissect, because you have Kanye who's so, let's say, right wing, and Jay-Z is left wing, or whatever it is, you know, like they're on different sides, but they've created this album together.
Not in a political sense, but in a sonic sense, or a music sense.
Yeah, and I think you look at Jay-Z's new album, it is, you can't even compare it to anything close to Kanye, and it's interesting that they both made an album together. I understand that they're really good friends, you know,
It's a great album.
It's awesome, but I don't think it's anything like...
It doesn't compare to this.
It does not compare to this.
It had very set goals that they achieved them, but those goals don't measure up to this or...
I mean, or it's interesting to see the direction that Kanye took post-Watch the Throne and the direction that Jay-Z took post-Watch the Throne.
Right, because Jay-Z kind of is doing the same stuff.
Yeah, it's...
With different producers who aren't as good.
And, you know, like the whole Samsung app...
Horrible.
That's stupid.
Horrible.
You know?
Why would you ever do that? Your talent should dictate people's interest in your music, not Samsung. I want Vizio to dictate my what albums I buy.
Maybe you can get a sponsorship for the podcast.
Yeah, help me out, Samsung. I could use an app. There is no app for this. Almost every review integrates the adjective, I guess it's an adjective, sawtoothed. Do you think that adequately describes the album? Would you ever use the adjective sawtooth in your review of Yeezus? Mine is still in the process. I'm at word 50,000.
I would say
sawtooth
that,
is yet to appear.
You know, based on...
What does it mean? Is it like a buzzsaw? Like the teeth of a saw?
I'm thinking the blade. So I'm thinking it's very raw and it's very... destructive.
I think there's some sort of like incestuous thing going on with these internet reviews, because at least
they're all
reading each other's reviews.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what happens with a bunch of these albums, I think, is that one person gets on a tangent and then they follow that for a long time.
I feel as though this album, more so than others, everyone was waiting to see what the first person said.
And especially with the hype that he created by projecting his face on 60 different cities around the world, or whatever it was, how many cities, but, you know, New Slaves, super controversial lyrically, amazing beat, maybe one of the best
amazing
songs
everything.
In the album. Amazing everything, but the way that he did that...
I think it's the best song he's ever written. Yeah.
That may be true.
Do you think the second verse is the best rap verse of all time?
It may be.
What
I think
verse
it's
is
the
better?
Strongest? I think the first half.
First verse of Ether by Nas.
I mean, it's just hard to kind of compare or even talk about other rappers in connection with Kanye because he's so different.
Yes.
You know, I think what Kanye does well is that he's so controversial, but what he's controversial about is making it more successful. Is making it more interesting to listen to. I think his audience is, I mean, young, 20, or, you know, let's even say 15.
Only white people, though. Only white
30
people.
30 white people, you know? Like, I don't think many African Americans are really listening to Kanye and saying, like, wow, that's a killer album, you know? Like, I think New Slaves would be something like that, or, you know, something like that is the type of beat heavy, is a song, or not a song, but a style that I think makes Kanye more successful.
Yeah.
But thematically, I think we can, I shouldn't say we, that sounds kind of bad, but I think...
Come on, Dean, Paula Dean. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot stick of butter.
Well, we just did, so...
The podcast is provocative.
Yeah, it's very provocative. I think it's the Bud Light that's getting me, but...
Delicious.
But yeah, I think what Kanye does is he talks about controversial issues, but those controversial issues make him more successful.
At the same time, Taylor Swift does suck. George Bush is a racist. Yeah?
So he's talking
he's not blowing the lid off anything. He's just saying what we all know.
He's just being honest and saying things.
He's saying
just
what he
like
thinks, which you know,
everybody's waiting
do.
For the first person to say something about the album. He's always going to be the first person to open up his mouth and tell the truth.
Tell
you know?
It's the best album of all time.
Yeah, I think that's what makes it successful, and I think that's what makes it intriguing, and I think that's what makes it one of the most important albums that has come out. Maybe not necessarily about what he's rapping about, but... Because he's doing it this way.
Yeah.
Or because he's putting it out now.
An artifact.
Yeah, as an artifact.
Totally true. Favorite tracks or track?
I would say I really like...
Now, this is different between best and favorite.
Yeah.
It's an obvious distinction we don't have to point at.
Yeah, I mean, New Slaves is the best.
The best, but...
But I really like On Sight. I think that song's lyrics are the best.
give a little
you know,
snippet.
I think... No sports bra, let's keep it bouncing. It's really funny, and every time I hear it, I think, you know, I laugh. But, you know, I think that song's great. It's got a killer beat that just hooks you in immediately, and I think that's what... You know, there are certain songs on this album that I think are more, you know, rhythmically they're more important to me. Like, they stand out more because I like the beat, whereas there are other songs that I like the lyrics more than I like the beat. But I think that's what's cool about this album is that even if it's not as strong... you know, production-wise, thematically, or what he's rapping about brings you back into
it. Yeah, and as an entryway to the album, it works perfectly the way you have the sort of dissonant white noise at the beginning, and the beat comes through that, and then halfway through the song, when he's telling you how much he doesn't give a fuck, he turns it into another song.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's literally introducing this thing that he's going to throw a bunch of very aggressive noise at you, but also have intense melody breaking through as well. And, I mean, you see that on New Slaves, too. The outro is, you know, gorgeous.
Amazing, it's beautiful.
Unbelievable. After, you know, the most aggressive bit of music you can possibly imagine.
I mean, it's just super heavy, super raw. Yeah. He's telling you as it is.
And almost every song follows that that pattern, the end of the Justin Vernon end of I Am a God, the auto-tune of Blood on the Leaves, which is
incredible.
Putting tears in everybody's eyes, including Lou Reed's. And where do you think he goes next musically?
I mean, it would be hard to create another album like this, and I think that's why when he did make 808 and Heartbreaks, it was like, whoa, what is this? You know, like, and then he puts out, you know, Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, and then you kind of were like, wow, he went in a total different direction,
so
but rocked it.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he puts out this album, which I think. He has been building for a long time, or at least creating these tracks for a long time.
You can even hear some of the abrasive stuff on 808.
Yeah, yeah. That influences this album. I think that's that's a good kind of juxtaposition.
Especially, and the good music stuff, too. The Mercy and Cold is...
For sure.
Although not certainly poppier than a lot of the stuff on here.
But I definitely don't think he slows down. I think he keeps going
at
this
pace.
You don't
think he goes like a gospel?
He goes Little Wayne style, starts playing guitar. I don't know. I don't think he goes in that direction, but I think he'll probably start producing a little bit more. I think he's created this, you know, persona about himself that he believes he's a god, and he's gonna produce these godly beats for other people. Whether that is he's gonna produce them and then take them back and rap over them for himself, but
as he's been known to do.
But I think he's not gonna slow down, and whatever he does next is just gonna be as progressive or transgressive or interesting.
Yeah, and I think on a base level he is. You know, who knows if he's intelligent or completely insane and a moron, but he seems to be intelligent enough never to put out a bad product, and I think that's a really important thing for an artist to have. And I don't know if there's anyone else in at least hip hop doing that.
I don't think so. I mean,
except Drake. Wait, except Drake.
Drake got kicked out of the Miami Heat locker room. They wouldn't allow him in
there. But he was at the after party and ordered everybody pizza.
That's pretty nice.
Hell yeah, it's nice.
But yeah, I think what Kanye's done with this record will go down in, you know, I don't know, history, but it will be known as very
important. Is it our Kid A? Our generation's Kid A?
I don't know. It's tough to tell, you know. Mumford & Sons doing a really great job.
Sons of Mumford our Kid A?
Probably. But I don't know. I think this album is really good, and, you know, I don't think
everyone should listen to it. Has it already.
I mean, if you're not going to listen to the whole albums, listen to New Slaves, and you'll be moved by it, I think, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, Blood on the Leaves, even the way that he uses this sweet backing track and then blows in that house acid dance music in the middle of it is really interesting. I think that's what makes Kanye so ahead of his time. And like he says, you know, I don't think anybody's been compared to Michael Jackson before, and he thinks that he is, and I agree with him. I think everybody knows who Kanye West is, just like anybody knows who Michael Jackson was. You know, artistically, let's say that they're kind of crazy. They're different.
Oh, they were both insane. Both are insane. Well, I guess one is dead now. Yeah, so we're insane. Michael Jackson and Kanye West,
both wearing zipper jackets.
Love zipper jackets. We got it. Oh, we should be doing this in zipper jackets, drinking. What was that beer you said before?
Snake Handler?
No, not Snake Handler. Not Hogwash. The your favorite one, the one you would take to the lethal injection chamber.
Enjoy by New Belgium's. La Folie.
Yeah. We need zipper jackets and some La Folie. Any closing comments? You want to throw it out? Yeah. How many strawberries you give Yeezus?
I would say close to 5, probably 4.5 to 4.7 out of 5.
nice.
You know,
I'm going all 5 strawberries.
All 5? That's pretty strong.
I'm in it. Up in it. Okay.
Cool.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So everyone, bye.
Bye.